Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting individual and talented players of the game. It's a great pleasure to welcome back that multi-talented, clever, original comedian, Paul Merton, and beside him is a person who has played this game more often than any others. He's shown skill, expertise and ingenuity over many years, the ever-resourceful Clement Freud, and sitting on my left, there's another fine comedian, great humorous talent who's excelled in this show many times, that's Tony Hawkes. And beside him we have someone who's not played the game quite so often, but he's shown great skill and talent when he has done so. So it's a pleasure to have Charles Collingwood with us, and will you please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst. She's going to run the stopwatch for me. She's going to blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Everyman Theatre, a beautiful little theatre in the heart of that great spa resort of Cheltenham. And we have a wonderful Gloucestershire audience in front of us with one or two scatterings from further afield who've come to cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject to start with is how to spot a lady. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, it's quite easy to spot a lady as opposed to gentlemen. Ladies tend to be the ones wearing prettier clothes, I think, and lovely hats and tall shoes as they walk up and down Cheltenham High Street looking for work. And I think that sometimes when you see a beautiful woman walking towards you...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition walking.
Yes.
Yes.
There was two walkings. Yes.
That's quite right. That's quite right.
Yeah, Clement.
Very good challenge.
Yes. And Clement, with a correct challenge, you get a point for that. And you take over the subject of how to spot a lady. And there are 44 seconds available starting now.
If you want to really spot a lady, beetroot soup, oxtail stew, and spaghetti bolognese are wonderful means by which, with a teaspoon, you can splutter all over their dresses, gowns, hats, shoes, socks.
Paul,
that's
challenge.
Enough,
hesitation. Yeah.
Hmm. Yes, I would agree with that. That's hesitation, yes. And Clement was saying you had a very good challenge too, so we're working very well together now.
And, I like to think so.
Yes. You've had the subject back. You have 26 seconds and you start now.
The three-card trick has been used over centuries to gull people into giving up their money. If you walk down Oxford Street, you will find practitioners of this particular skill asking people to come up and saying, go on then, which one is it? And you...
Charles, a challenge.
That's not true. I walk down Oxford Street a lot. I haven't seen the three-card trick page. On trains, yes, but never in Oxford Street. I'm sorry, that's deviation.
Well, Charles, we cannot be sure it's never done in Oxford Street. There might be somebody who's at this present moment working it in Oxford Street.
Yeah.
So, though it's a good challenge...
My mother.
I retract.
Every Sunday she's there.
I'm sorry,
it is perfectly possible that somebody could be doing it in Oxford Street, so I have to say that's an incorrect challenge.
Fair enough.
Paul gets a point for incorrect challenge. He keeps the subject. 13 seconds available. How to spot a lady, starting now.
If one were to breed Dalmatians for a living, perhaps do it professionally, then you must know that a...
Tony challenged.
Well, actually, I've forgotten what my challenge is already.
You just wanted to be...
Isn't that a bit of a handicap in this game?
It is. I thought I had a sort of brilliant one, and then as I was forming it, I thought it was rubbish.
And so that's all
well,
you have
did,
to say.
Well, he did say something. I'm digging a hole for myself, because I know it's rubbish. Right. So I'll just withdraw it instead.
Well, OK.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Tony.
I'm hoping to make better contributions later.
Well, I thought you were letting the listeners know that you were actually in the programme, which you have established.
Well, I managed to do that.
But your negligent challenge has given Paul another point, and he has 7 seconds still on how to spot a lady, starting now.
Acne is a terrible affliction which affects both sexes, whether you be a man or indeed a female of the species.
Whoever is speaking in this game when the whistle goes, gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, and with other points in that round, he has naturally got a strong lead. As we go into the next round, and we'd like Charles Collingwood to take it. Charles, the subject here is fashion. You're a fairly sartorial character, but would you like to talk on that subject? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
We live in the world of spin these days, and nothing has spun more than the world of fashion.
Paul Challenge.
Well, it's a bit harsh. It's a repetition of world. World of spin, world of fashion.
Oh, yes, world of spin, world of fashion.
Do you know, I made such an effort not to say spin twice. I said spin and spun, and I went, clever old me.
That's what happens. You see, they have been playing the game a bit more often than you. They listen to themselves.
They're younger
more.
Than me as
I
well.
Tell you. Yes, Paul's on fire tonight.
Well, let's put him out.
Okay.
Yes. And when you booed Paul then for his challenge, I have to remind you, those are the rules.
That's what you have to boo Paul.
Yes.
No. The rules are that you challenge if he repeats something, and he repeated something, which was the world and was just world. And Paul, you have a great challenge. You have a point. You have fashion. You have 54 seconds starting now.
As you can tell, I've never really been particularly a follower of fashion, although that was a very favourite song of the Kinks, which was released in 1965, I believe, written by Ray Davis. I have never been the kind of
Charles challenge.
Repetition of never.
Yes, there were two never.
Yes.
Well, Charles, with one effort, you've already won the whole sympathy of this audience. Or the sympathy of the whole audience, maybe. So you have a correct challenge, Charles. You have the subject. You have 43 seconds. You have fashion starting now.
If you open those glossy magazines and look at those designs that are made for our young ladies of today, how on earth are they going to get into them and go shopping or take their shoes off or go on the bus? They are ridiculous. And you know full well they're pinned up at the back as well. They don't even fit those young persons. So it's quite ridiculous.
Clement challenge.
We've had rather a lot of youngs than theirs.
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's all right.
I thought we'd let a few go.
That's all right.
They let you go for a bit to give you a fair crack of the whip.
Very kind of you.
Clement waited and came in with a correct challenge. 24 seconds. Fashion's with you, Clement, starting now.
Bespoke is a word I'm very fond of. You have a suit made for you specifically, or shoes or socks or a handkerchief.
Tony challenge.
Well, four oars quite close to each other.
Yeah. As one you might let go, but four, no.
Four's too many.
15 seconds are still available to hear from you, Tony, on fashion starting now.
As everyone in this audience can see for themselves, I am quite the most fashionable figure you could wish to come across in my beautiful khaki outfit I've been planning for months. Most of the people that come on this show don't give it a moment's thought, but not me. I'm Mr...
So Tony Hawkes was then speaking as the whistle went, and he gained that extra point, and he's now equal with Charles Collingwood and Clement Freud, who are just behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead. And I think, for the sake of our listeners, I should say that I think the whole of this panel and everybody is reasonably well-dressed. You're not the only one who's got well-cut clothes on. In fact, I would say yours are not up to the standard of some of the others. Anyway, let's go on with the show. Tony, would you like to take the next round? And it is Second Thoughts. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A lot of listeners at home will be disappointed to learn that we record this show some way in advance. And I have to admit, I had second thoughts when I accepted this job because, as I speak at the moment, Greece and Portugal are doing battle on a football pitch somewhere in the world. And...
Clement Freud challenge.
Lisbon.
Clement Freud showing off his incredible knowledge.
That's all well and good, but what I want to know is what the score is.
Well, they haven't started yet, so get the audience agitated. No, sorry. Don't say that. Anyway, Clement, because your interruption there, the audience enjoyed it, what I do is I do on these occasions, I give you a bonus point for an amusing interruption. But Tony was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. He continues with the subject, 41 seconds available, second thoughts starting now.
Generally, second thoughts happen just after first thoughts and immediately preceding third thoughts. Fourth, fifth, sixth may follow, depending on how much thinking you're doing that day. I would imagine most people have second thoughts when they've made some sort of reckless decision where they've agreed perhaps to marry someone that they don't even like, Or to do something ridiculous like turn up on a show where you need verbal dexterity and you have no capability for that. Might be, of course, and can I just point out how fashionably I'm dressed? Nicholas, on the other hand, should have had second thoughts before he wore that jacket. But he went through with it like a fool, thinking himself... No.
So Tony Hawk started with the subject and, in spite of an interruption, continued to the 60 seconds is up. He got his point for the interruption, he got a point for speaking as the whistle went. He's now equal with Paul Merton in the lead, followed by Clement Freud and Charles Collingwood. And, Clement, your turn to begin the subject, cheese rolling. Oh. Obviously, we have an audience of cheese rollers. It's a very topical subject, but Clement, tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
If I had to choose between sausage rolling, cheese rolling, and corned beef sandwich rolling, I think cheese rolling is absolutely my first choice. No second thoughts would come up at all. The important thing about cheese rolling is to make sure that cottage cheese is not used, as it tends to stick and not facilitate the descent of the cheese. In Gloucestershire, in fact, in Cheltenham, not very far from here, cheese rolling is an afternoon...
Charles Collingwood's chant.
He said, in Cheltenham, not very far from here.
Hmm. It couldn't be much nearer.
We're in Cheltenham. And I know he's going to say, not very far, but there was a... In Cheltenham, not very far from here. But as an actor, I felt it sounded like in Cheltenham, not very far from here. Total rubbish, I felt personally. And that is why I put... I'm sorry, Clement, don't look at me like that. He makes you ever so nervous when he looks at
you. Yes, he can do that.
Oh, he can.
Yes, he can bluff you out of things. But, no, I do think that he was trying to convey the fact that though we're in Cheltenham now, this takes place not very far from Cheltenham. And though it may not have been the sort of usual grammatical phraseology, I think he was conveying what we all know. It's not very far from Cheltenham it takes place. So, Clement, you have the benefit of the doubt on this occasion. You keep the subject.
Excuse me. It's got nothing to do with you.
I know.
But they do with them, has it, Nicholas?
They're a very partisan audience. And as you'll notice, they keep changing their allegiance.
They do.
So they're utterly fickle as well. And they're just mad about cheese rolling, so that says something for them, doesn't it? I wonder why they're facing...
Can I get a bonus point for such a clever interruption?
No, it wasn't all that clever, Charles.
No. I wouldn't draw attention to it, by you.
Clement, you carry on for another point. 30 seconds, cheese rolling starting now.
I have a film of Gloucester cheese rolling, and I said Gloucestershire before, so it wasn't...
Lisa? Repetition of Gloucestershire.
That's right. In other words, in this game, you can struggle out of a situation and dive straight in again to the other side. So, Tony, correct challenge. Cheese rolling is now with you and 25 seconds available, starting now.
I have tried to popularise cheese rolling in central London, and it won't happen. First of all, it's important to get a round cheese. Square bits of cheddar don't roll properly. Generally, though, there's no enthusiasm in that capital city for this. Perhaps you need to be Gloucester folk with not much else to do to enthusiate yourself down here. I appreciate that this is not making me a popular figure here this evening.
Now, you may have lost some friends with that remark, Tony, but you kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point, and you've taken the lead, two ahead of Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and then Charles Collingwood. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is... My favourite planet. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
My favourite planet, without any doubt, is XB110. It's in the northern arm of Betelgeuse, and it's an extraordinary place. The buildings are made out of cheese, and the cheeses are made out of...
Can I challenge?
What is your cheeses?
Cheese and cheeses.
Yes. I got caught.
Yes. You got caught, yes. They do that sometimes, trip each other up. But it's an incorrect challenge. 51 seconds still with you on my favourite planet, Paul, starting now.
On second thoughts, I think Neptune is much better because when you go there, it's a wonderful atmosphere. It's quite warm, but there's not many people and you get a deck chair to yourself.
Charles, your challenge.
I think it was hesitation.
It was hesitation, Charles. So you have my favourite planet, and you have 43 seconds starting now.
My favourite planet is Mars, written by Gustav Holst, who I believe was born in this fine town here many years ago. I like all the planets, quite frankly, and I want to visit one day, although I realise that I'm already residing on a planet as happens now. But in the time to...
residing on a planet as happens now?
That is the way we speak on my planet.
Yes.
Well, what I'll do there, Paul gets a point for a correct challenge, because it was deviation from grammatical English, as we understand it. But Charles, we give you a bonus point for your
acting.
Comeback. No, not for acting, because all your hands were nearly hitting the microphone. And and Paul, you have the subject. You have 22 seconds. My favourite planet starting now.
The planet Earth. Isn't it beautiful? A blue ball spinning in space. Where we call home. Charles, unfortunately, is a visitor. But we welcome him to our bosom. Because we say to the aliens that live on other aspects of the galaxy, come to us. We have plenty...
Paul, it's your temper, Charles.
That was five wheeze.
Yes. Five. It was. I don't know if it was five. I wasn't counting. But right, we had
I
those
take
oars.
It back.
No. Don't take it back because we had the oars against you. Oh dear me, that sounds a bit bad.
And you got the wheeze against me.
Yes. Clement, 5 seconds. My favourite planet, starting now.
Of all the planets I've visited, Earth is actually my favourite.
So, at the end of that round, Clement Freud got the whistle. Speaking as a whistle went, it's an interesting situation. Clement Freud, Tony Hawks and Paul Merton are all equal in the lead, and Charles Collingwood is only 2 points behind. And, Charles, it's your turn to begin. The subject, I don't know why it's been chosen for you, we'll discover soon, I'm sure, changing nappies. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
It's many years ago since my little daughter was a tiny baby. How I remember throwing away the pooey one and then lying the infant down on a cloth all warm and powdered as I wrapped this folded toweling square round her little shape and very carefully with a sharp pin so as not to prick this virgin skin, I pushed it through as she gurgled in my face. Warm, I put her panties...
Too warm.
We've had warm...
Too warm. Too warm. Too many warms.
Too warm, yeah. For those listeners who like visual images, Charles was doing that with his eyes shut. So either it was the memory thing...
Memories,
yes.
Smell.
Smell. As long as you don't do your other radio show with your eyes shut and you can read the words anyway.
Pity you do yours with your eyes shut.
I don't know what that meant, Charles.
No, I don't.
Good attempt, but it didn't quite come off, did it? Right.
I don't think we should start picking on jokes that don't work. We'll be here forever.
I think we get some fun out of the fact they don't work. So, 30 seconds, changing nappies is with you, Paul, starting now.
So I went back to the supermarket and I said, excuse me, these nappies I bought yesterday, they seem to be made of asbestos. They said, oh, well, it's a cut-price, cheap kind of nappy. I said, well, that's no good to me. I want to change.
Tony Challenge.
Two ice heads.
Two ice heads, yes, you did indeed. Right. Tony, changing nappies is over to you. 19 seconds available, starting now.
I'm terrible at changing nappies.
Give it to somebody who knows what they're talking about. I'm terrible at changing nappies.
If you had
interrupted me to tell us that he's no good at changing nappies.
If you've got asbestos nappies, I don't know if you know much about it either.
That's why I took them back.
Right. What we do there is the audience enjoyed Paul's interruptions. We give him a bonus point for the interruption. Tony gets a point because he was interrupted, and he has 17 seconds to continue on changing nappies starting now.
Sometimes I'll wear them for days before I think of putting a new one on. Weeks past in some cases, but I generally get someone to come in and do it, a nanny or such like, and they do a good job. I lie down much in the way that Charles Conning...
Paul Tallant.
Repetition of I.
Oh.
I wear nappies, I lie down.
Well, let's watch this in future. We've had all the oars, and now we've had the wheeze, and now we've had the eyes. So, but it was correct. So, Paul, 2 seconds. You've got him with 2 seconds to go. And you've got changing nappies starting now.
Toweling is the most important thing. First of all, you put it around the baby...
So Paul Merton, with other points in the round, including the one for speaking as a whistle went, has edged slightly into the lead ahead of the others. And Clement, your turn to begin the subject, cobblers. Can you tell us something about cobblers in this game, starting now?
Northampton Football Club are known as the Cobblers, mainly because in the city from which the footballers take their name, they produce shoes, boots, in great quantities. In Cheltenham, where we now are, the team is called the Robins. I'm not at all sure why, other than Robins...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of Robin.
Yes, it's cobblers on the card. There we go up in the Robins.
It sounded like cobblers to me.
Yes, 39 seconds, Tony. Cobblers with you starting now.
You could argue I could speak on any subject for the remaining time and then claim it was cobblers. No one could get me for deviation. Swimming, that's fun, isn't it? And the windows outside my house are a little bit grubby.
Paul Challenge.
Well, I know its subject is cobblers, but has he got windows outside his house? Are they not part of the house?
Cobblers.
He's given me a difficult thing because he maintained he's talking cobblers.
This is the one.
He's taken the concept of double glazing a bit far.
This is the one round where you can't get me for that one. Any other round you can, but it is cobblers to have them outside.
But it's, no,
it's deviation.
I think it's almost an impossible decision because there's truth in your argument, but
I established it myself. I spent good seconds establishing the premise.
That you would have taught cobblers.
Yes.
I've given Paul the benefit of the doubt last time. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion. Carry on with your cobblers. 24 seconds starting now.
Shoes would be difficult to... Oh, I can't be asked.
Charles, yes.
Well, hesitation, yes. And a repetition of shoes.
No, he hadn't said shoes before.
Oh, you can't... Oh, I see, that's good. Go on, boy, you can see how quick I am, can't you?
You can repeat what somebody else has said in that round, as long as you haven't said it.
Oh, I might win next time. OK, right, cobblers.
Charles, you've got cobblers, and you have 22 seconds starting now.
The windows outside my house overlook a cobbled street, where there are no...
Paul Charles.
Hesitation. Yes, but I'll accept the benefit of the doubt. Don't mind...
No, but he wasn't establishing, he was talking cobblers, so this occasion your challenge would have been correct anyway.
Ah, hesitation? Yes.
No, but he's got you on two scores, so...
Has he?
Yes.
He's never heard of a dramatic pause.
As performers, we've all heard and we've all indulged in dramatic pauses, but they are not going to work on just a minute. One game where you can't use them. 17 seconds, Paul. Cobblers starting now.
I've got Clement Freud's First Country and Western album at home, and what a treat it is when you put on that record and you listen to the first track. I'm just...
Clement Shannon.
Repetition of First.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I've got Clement Freud's first track, and when you listen to the first right. Clement, you've got him with 10 seconds on Cobblers starting now.
My second country and Western album was a terrific success. It was... bought everywhere in towns, villages, hamlets and cities into...
And at the end of that round, Clement Freud got the point for speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's equal with Paul Merton in the lead. And I mention this now slowly because we're going to the final round for those interested in points. Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is one-way systems. But one or two of those in Cheltenham, I can tell you. But will you talk on it starting now?
I've just been round the one-way system in Cheltenham, and it strikes me as a beautiful thing because it actually helps you to get to where you want to be, which is where I am now, in the middle of the place that I've just mentioned earlier, which, of course, I can't mention, but there's lots of...
Oh, that's the fun and the frustration of this game. And, Tony, you spotted it.
Yes, repetition.
I've mentioned, yes. Yeah. One-way systems is with you, Tony, and 49 seconds available starting now.
I've always wondered what Brands Hatch was like before they put the one-way system. Must have been complete chaos with Schumacher...
Charles Callant.
That was hesitation.
No, don't you tell me. It's my job.
I mean, I... Mr. Parsons, yes. OBE.
No, no. You don't need to patronise now.
Was it any...
39 seconds for you, Charles. Tell us something about one-way systems starting now.
One-way systems make one get so much older quicker than you'd like to be. I can't think of anything I'd rather do less than drive round a one-way system. However, when you are lost, people are incredibly kind. They wave and give you directions, saying, "The Everyman Theatre is just round there." Is it hell?
Not in Edinburgh, they don't.
A very nice challenge, a very nice interruption.
Because, stylish.
But I think we we give Tony a bonus point because we enjoyed his interruption. He's got that. And you get a point because you're interrupted. And you have, Charles, 18 seconds, one-way systems starting now.
But all of a sudden, I saw a person who said,
poor challenge.
Should we have a repetition of person?
No. There was a person before. There were people who... There was people before.
Oh, people. It was people, yes.
There was people before.
Yes.
People, yes.
Yes.
Charles. See, I do listen to every word that's spoken, and you and Charles, at this rate, you could actually win. You never know. You still have the subject, one-way system, 16 seconds, starting now.
Just under the subway will not get you to where you want to go at all.
Clement challenged.
I want him to have another point.
So you had an incorrect challenge. You got another point, Charles. And you have 12 seconds on one-way system starting now.
It must have been many years ago when they introduced the subject of one-way systems to some of our major towns. I suppose it's because the traffic when going in two directions was rather difficult to manipulate.
So Charles Collingwood was speaking as a whistle Wayne, gained that extra point, and with a number of other points in that round, he has leapt forward. But he didn't quite make it. He's actually finished in second place. And he was 3 points behind our winners, which is extremely fair considering the tremendous value they all give, because all with 13 points are Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes and Clement Freud, all equal. It's never happened before. Our winners. What a fair result in a game which is played for fun and not for points. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Tony Hawkes and Charles Collingwood. I also thank Janice Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score. She'd blown her whistle so well when the 60 seconds was up. And we are grateful to our lovely producer, Claire Jones, and we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this delightful game. And we are very grateful to this lovely audience here in the Everyman Theatre in Cheltenham, who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.